Nicholas, white-collar payrolls in the US have now contracted for 31 consecutive months. The EU has the AI Act. It has the CADA sovereignty push. But are any of these institutions actually protecting workers? Or is it just the leaders that are just generating paperwork while the middle class disappears?
That's a fantastic opening. Thank you very much, Nat, on this one. It is definitely true in terms of all the packages that are being developed today by Europe and also by all the 27 countries and, you know, their own legislations. But if we go back a little bit, we can look at AI indeed targeting the jobs that build middle class. It's this industrial evolution, as you know, I never talk about revolution because to me it's just an evolution of technologies, mainly threatens physical and repetitive work. This is what we see today. Automation is not only coming for the factory floor, but it's coming for the office floor. And that's what we can see today more and more. And so the danger is not only job loss, it's the disappearance of a career ladder. And so, for example, many middle-class carriers, repetitive but formative work. For example, junior analysts, legal assistants, administrative coordinators, junior marketers. I mean, there are many sales support teams, all these people who start low, like I did, and then go up within the job ladder. So this job teach people to me how an organization works. And they give young professionals exposure, confidence, judgment, relationships, experience. But today, AI can do part of this work instantly, basically. So we may soon see companies asking for experienced people while investing less in creating experience. And that's probably something that is everybody needs to be aware of. AI may not remove the whole career ladder, but it may remove the first three rungs, if you know what I mean. And then you can see many middle management jobs being squeezed from both sides, because middle managers are very often, and what I've seen and experience is that they are very often the translators between strategy and reality. They coordinate teams, they prepare reports, they interpret data, they manage budgets, they track projects, they communicate decisions. I mean, on and on and on. And so AI can increasingly automate parts of all of these. The danger to me is that organizations use AI not to make middle managers more capable, but to reduce layers of management without redesigning accountability. And that's a very important point, because you always need to have somebody accountable for AI. AI will not go to jail if something goes wrong, right? It'll be the CEO, and you don't call an AI when something goes wrong. You call your boss, you call your manager, you call somebody, but, you know, and then. And so that accountability is extremely important. But in the meantime, if I want to have a more balanced point, is the fact that AI is not necessarily eating the middle class, as you mentioned. It may be forcing the middle class to evolve. That's why I don't call it as a revolution. To me, it's, an evolution, because it makes everybody evolve. Every major technological evolution has eliminated certain tasks. I mean, we can go back in history. And, you know, when we had horses rather instead of cars, you had people managing the horse's shoe, right? I can't remember the name in English, to be honest with you. So and they disappeared. What did they do? They trained themselves and became car mechanics, right? For most of them. And here we are about to see new professions, new services, new forms of productivity being created. To me, the real danger is not AI itself. As you know, I've been involved with AI for over 30 years. The danger is allowing companies to deploy AI only to remove costs rather than to create value, improve services, and or develop people. So there's always a balanced approach to all these things. As I mentioned first, it's true that AI could eat middle management, but then what do you do? I mean, you know, you need to be pragmatic. And I think that that's a very important point. This pragmatism is something right. That everybody needs to understand. And in a transformation, you need to transform yourself as well. And you need to see that the society is evolving and find a way to evolve with it. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's huge. Looking at the statistics, I got some statistics from Claude here, right? I don't know whether this is true, but it says 20% of organizations will eliminate over half middle management by the end of this year, which is, it potentially is true. It potentially is true. I'm going to have a look and see where that source comes from. But
yeah, but you know, AI does not replace human roles as easily as the statistics mentioned to me, because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it can automate tasks, definitely, but it does not automatically automate responsibility. And companies need to go through this evolution in order to make it happen. So I hear you. I see the statistics like you, but to me, it's not as easily done as they suggest. And also thinking as a devil's advocate, AI may actually protect middle-class workers from low-value work.
Right.
Right? For decades, right. You have many professionals that have spent too much time on reporting, administrations, mm-hmm. emails, data entry, compliance documentation, survey filling, I mean, repetitive analysis. So if you use AI correctly, you can remove some of that burden and allow people to focus on higher work, like clients, like innovation, like problem solving, like leadership, like creativity. I mean, there are many things that AI can help you to do. So to me, thinking out loud here, but to me, the opportunity is not to have fewer humans at work. It is to have humans spending less time behaving like machines. That's how I see it. And that's how I've positioned it for the last three decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, I tend to also come from, you know, a half glass full kind of attitude here, right?
Me too.
The major issue that I see is really the inflexibility of the people who are younger, who've perhaps just started. They've come out of university. Let's talk about marketers as an example, right? And they've come along and they're like, well, I'm a marketer, and then they realize that actually what the AI can do. And in fact, I think they need to differentiate themselves to in fact get employment or even become interns, right? Like free interns to actually get experience, because, you know, but that has been around for decades, that sort of model anyway. But
exactly.
I think from what I hear, it is particularly difficult if you are starting in marketing right now as one industry.
That's true.
You know, as someone, you know, I used to teach workshops in marketing probably 15 years ago, approximately, in social media and marketing itself for IBM and Microsoft and stuff. And after reviewing the course collateral about 2 weeks ago, I was like, well, nothing has really changed in marketing since then, right? The only things that have changed is that things are faster and now we're at a sort of interest-based media is where we're at. But actually, the nuts and bolts of it have not really changed. So it's like, well, if I, as someone who's got 15 years experience, you know, have studied for 15 years off and on and learned, you know, how to do certain things, I'm now supported by this incredible resource in the sky in some data centers, Anthropics, Googles, whatever, wherever they are, plus all this knowledge that I've built, right? So I am more employable than someone who's just come out of university with a marketing degree, in most cases, depending upon the market, because actually in certain countries, those people may be as employable as me. Right? Like we don't actually, you know, because it's a big wide world out there. It's a wide world out there, you know. And so many people listen to this show from all sorts of different countries, right? But actually the source was from Gartner, believe it or not.
Yeah, no,
which is interesting.
I hear it and I understand it. But another point that I think is worth mentioning is the fact that middle class has always adapted through skills, because it was built partly because education and professional skills created upward mobility. Continues basically the way that continuous learning, it also makes learning more accessible. We can see that everywhere, because that I hear it across the board. As you know, I was in the US not a long time ago, and they discussed that. And we discussed that at some very nice universities on the East Coast. A small business owner, for example, a junior professional, a teacher, a consultant, local entrepreneur, you name it, they can now access research, translation design, marketing support, analytical capabilities that I used to have when I was at Sony. But so large companies used to have it. But if you're on your own, if you're starting a business or anything, it's very hard to have. And so I can see it with what I just said, the fact that AI could create new middle-class professions, because now we're going to see, I think we're going to see more growing demand for people who can supervise AI, validate outputs, manage AI risk. You remember, I keep talking about human centricity, secure data, redesign processes, train teams. I mean, what I'm trying to say here, that these may not always be traditional jobs, but they can become new forms of professional employment. You know, yes, we're going to some jobs, as you mentioned, junior jobs coming out of university, marketing might find it difficult or might need to transform themselves. But we will create new forms of professional employment, is my point. So, yeah, you know, the world, I think the main question we need to ask ourselves is, okay, what do we do now? Because AI is here. We can't go back. We're on an never ending journey, basically, and on that path, what can you do? Can you go back? No, there's no way today. I mean, AI is part of our lives. AI is everywhere. So I think it's more for us to think about a more balanced approach, a more intelligent approach on how we use AI to optimize us and to make us better, to augment us, rather than kill our opportunities and kill our jobs. So that's why the outcome that we'll see will depend on leadership and policy, you know, governance, we talk about sovereignty, so Europe is really definitely starting to think about AI Act and, you know, and as you mentioned, all the other policies that we're working on. But I don't see it as negative as those statistics from Gardner.
I do have some positives.
Go for it.
You know, but those actually come with some hidden data that if I only quote these positives, people are going to get excited. And the fact is that in 2024, there were 119,900 new AI roles, right?
Okay.
More than lost that year. Okay.
Okay.
AI job postings are up 134% since 2020. And the WEF projects net gain of 78 million jobs by 2030 globally, right? The problem with that promise is 77% of new AI roles require a master's degree. So that's an interesting stat.
Yeah.
And 18% require a doctorate, right? So the people losing the jobs cannot access the jobs that are being created, right?
Okay.
So yes, AI is creating more jobs than it destroys, just not for the people.
That's true.
It is destroying the jobs off, right? So it, in my world, right, I've been building a lot of technology. I spoke to you about this before we got on here. And I've realized how difficult it actually is to work with technology every single day and what it does to your brain. And that's why I actually think there are going to be a lot more people who are going to enjoy the change and move out of what they're actually doing into a job that they really enjoy more.
Uh-huh.
And that could be utilizing skills within the fitness industry, within the coaching industry, within all sorts of different industries, right? Because look, we're not one trick ponies. By the time you get to 30, right, if you don't have two or three different skills that you could make money from,
yeah,
you're basically in trouble, in my personal opinion. And each one of those skills that you have has, in particular, probably many different applications that can be crossed over into different roles, different entrepreneurial ventures, and different opportunities. So,
yeah.
So actually, I think shaking it up is an interesting concept. You know, jobs for life completely disappeared 20 years ago, right?
Exactly.
And
even more, 30 years ago.
More, yeah. And but it's interesting, this whole ADHD thing that I talk about a lot. I've been talking a lot about that recently, and how people with ADHD, whilst I could talk about the weather 1 minute, and then 30 seconds later I could talk about something else, and I can get to work within 2 minutes on another thing, it actually is a great skill to have. And that's what's interesting, is the people with these adaptable, enthusiastic skills are actually the ones that are ideally placed for this new world that we basically face ourselves in. Because look, I can go and I can run a report on any topic at all in the world, but if I don't know what I'm looking for within that report, and I can't interrogate that report and interrogate the data and actually get information from the client who says, okay, well, yeah, but I like that idea, but in my particular area, Hungary is much more important than Poland. And actually, Polish visitors don't really come here at all. And I don't really want the Germans, because they don't like spending money anymore, because actually the Germans are sort of at a point where they come to Croatia and it's like, it's the same price as where they're at home.
Yeah.
So they don't appreciate it as much as they used to, because they used to come here before. But now you've got people that are coming here from Czech, from Hungary, and they appreciate it. They come here to spend money. They're perfectly happy. They don't complain. And I was just, so I had an entire boot camp around this the last 3 weeks, talking to some new clients, right, about this. And each client has got their own specific angle that they want to focus on within this particular location-based and online world that we live in.
Yeah.
And I find it particularly interesting how you can go and run a report, but until you have that human approach and actually the insider knowledge laid over the top of it, it doesn't get, it's not going to get you very far, frankly, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, as you know, I've been involved with AI from pretty much the beginning, over 30 years ago. And I guarantee you, I was never decided or to work against the middle class ever. And to me, we can either weaken the middle class by concentrating wealth and removing career pathways, as I mentioned at the beginning, or reinforcing it by giving more people access to knowledge, productivity, and opportunity. It's really that balance that is extremely important. So to me, technology does not decide the outcome alone. It should not decide the outcome ever. Leaders, companies, governments would do. That's really how I see it. And so, yes, we need to be aware. And yes, your podcast is extremely important for that. And really, I always thank you for being vocal about these issues, because people need to be aware. But if I were today a student in marketing, communication, and was starting to look for a job, I would really try to look for a way to differentiate myself from AI. And not from others anymore, but from AI. And basically, what I will do is either do more education, different type of jobs, probably, and try to build my own database of expertise and experience that later on I can sell. And to your point that you made a little bit earlier on, this is exactly how it should be done. And again, you know, technology does not decide the outcome and must not decide the outcome. It's human centricity. It's about human augmented. And it's really important that leaders, companies, governments, institutions really do decide about the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just at an exciting point. I find it a very exciting position where we're at, really.
It's exciting, when but it could bring anxiety, and I totally get
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You know?
Believe me, when I've been working on these programs, I have been anxious, because it is literally changed so quickly within the space of 6 months or 3 years that I've been using language models, and it's incremental what's basically happening right now and what has happened.
Yeah.
But I'm quietly confident. I think that as long as people remember that they have to have some sort of ethics, I just get worried about the sort of potential greed that comes into the hands of firstly shareholders and also the ethics of business professionals, in my personal opinion. It's scary stuff, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nicholas. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Nat.
And
me too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking with you soon.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.